Happy Father's Day. All right. So I want to talk about fathering today and godly manhood, because in our culture, in our country, we have a man problem. According to the Center for Disease Control, as of, 2012, 40% of all births happen outside of wedlock. Are you aware of that? And that number is climbing. According to the U.S. Census in 2010, one-third of homes in America today do not have a father at all. That's a problem. And that number actually rises when you take poverty into consideration. And what that means is that the little boys and little girls who need a daddy the most very often have a daddy the least. It means that there are a lot of men in our nation with commitment issues. We have a fathering problem. Now, as we look at the culture around us, we may see some of the things that make biblical godly manhood increasingly difficult. So we've got challenges like, well, you know, if you would see, look at the dads on TV, for example, they're probably a reflection of the dads of culture at large. And many of the father figures you'd see on TV, not all, there are some very good ones, but you know, the models that we see on a regular basis very often are these kind of bumbling comic figures, right? Kind of the Homer Simpsons of fatherdom that are good for a laugh, but they're not really reliable. They're not dependable. They're not trustworthy. They're not really there. Sadly, just like many American children experience in real life. We look at some of the temptations and pressures that young men face today. One of the challenges, and I'm going to sound like an old dude at this point, but even things like video games. They're good. They're fantastic. They're so incredibly well done that these virtual worlds have an ability to just suck you in and keep you there. And sadly, what that means for the youngest generation is that in many cases, they are very, very accomplished at things that don't exist, that aren't even real. And to the degree that they are real, are things you wouldn't even want to be accomplished in. They're really good at doing things that are really bad. And what that means for far too many is they come into adult life having achieved many things in a virtual world and almost nothing in the real world. So they come in far too often into adult life lacking confidence, lacking courage, because they've never faced any real challenges, just virtual ones. And sadly, the same thing is also true for relationships. And that we have such access to pornography that many guys especially come into adulthood very ill-equipped for real relationships, because all they have experienced are virtual ones. And just like the video games they played, what they've experienced in the virtual relationships is nothing you would want to replicate in real life. So it sounds like I'm bashing on guys today, maybe a little bit, but that's true. But what I hope we hear in these next few minutes, not so much all the things that are going wrong, but that we take some time to look at what can be done right. Because where our culture has confusion, God's word, God's timeless word, brings clarity. And it is my hope that as we focus just a few moments on what God's word says about godly manhood, that we would be challenged, that we would be encouraged, that we would be grateful for the examples that we see around us, that we would pray with greater diligence for our men, and that our men would be better equipped to live into the identity that God would have for them and for us. So I invite you to take your Bibles. If you've got your paper Bibles, that's great. If you've got your Bible apps, that's good too. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 in one of the passages about Christian households. This is a bit of a tough passage, because it's a passage that can be very abused. But I think as we hear it in context and within the totality of the teaching of Scripture, is it can be really, really helpful, really, really challenging. Okay, so we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and because this is Father's Day, I'm just going to focus on the passages that are speaking specifically to dads, specifically to husbands as well. So this is right after chapter 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then we get to verse 23, and it says this, for the husband is the, what's the word? Head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So it's calling men to headship, to a form of leadership in their marriages and in their families. Now, what's the model for the type of leader that men are supposed to be? Christ. Be head in your family like Christ is head of the church. Now, as Jesus led and continues to lead the church, is Jesus abusive to the church? No. Is Jesus impatient with the church? Oh, I am so grateful. Does Jesus demand his way or the highway to the church? No. Does he force his leadership, demanding submission? No, never. I think actually some of the language that we hear even in the business world about head can be helpful here in this. Like, so imagine you are in your job, you are head of the marketing department. So you're head of the marketing department. You've got a number of other people in marketing who serve with you, underneath you. It is your job to keep the team on track, to set the tone for the team. It is your job to kind of set the culture for that group. And if there is a problem with the marketing department, what does the big boss do? Who does the big boss go to first? The head of the department. So headship here has much more to do with responsibility than it does with any sort of domineering authority. It pushes us to a definition of godly manhood that invites us, especially as men, to think, how am I taking responsibility for those under my care, for those in my families? How am I taking responsibility for my marriage? How am I taking responsibility for parenting? But let's keep reading. Because, of course, if we're going to lead like Jesus, if we're going to be appropriate heads, appropriate leaders in our households, if we're going to lead like Jesus, we got to love like Jesus. And that's what this next passage reminds us of. Verse 25. Husbands, it says, love your wives just as Christ, what's that next phrase? Love the church. Love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Christ gave himself up for her. And the passage continues in verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. In other words, love your spouse, love your kids as much as you love yourself. Modeling it after Jesus, a man who laid down his life for the benefit of the church. He laid down his life for you and for me. Seeing our struggles, seeing our sin, seeing all the ways that life could turn out for us if we did not have his intervention. Jesus got involved. Jesus took responsibility. That's what it means. And so I want us to look at what it means then to be a godly man. The godly manhood is responsibility. If you're taking notes, if there's one thing you remember from today, that's what I hope you take away. The biblical definition of godly manhood is somebody who takes responsibility, who says, yep, there is a problem, and that is my problem. I will engage. I will get involved. I will help. I will serve. I will sacrifice. I will do whatever it takes in order that those under my care, under my responsibility, will thrive. So let's look at just a few areas of how responsibility gets played out in a Christian home. So we need to look at what it means to address the spiritual needs of our family. So I'm just getting kind of overheated up here. Okay. So the spiritual needs in our family. In other words, men, it is your job. Let me see your eyes, guys. Let me see your eyes. It is your job to set the tone for your household. This is what that means. Doesn't mean you lead everything. Doesn't mean you need to be an expert in everything. Some of us, we have wives that are smarter than us. And so they're fantastic at things. It doesn't mean that you need to outsmart your wife. That's not the goal here. The goal is to set the tone. Set the tone. We are a household that prays together. Even if the way that I lead it is to say, we're going to pray together, family, and I've got this one little prayer memorized, and honey, can you take it from here? That is, nonetheless, that is setting the tone. We are a family that prays together. We're a family that makes church a priority, makes the Christian community a priority. We are a family that cares about each other's inner life and not just our outer accomplishments. It is the husband's, the dad's job to set the tone spiritually. Now, what might that look like? That could be, you know, and here, I got it. This isn't just you know, kind of telling you all the things that you should do without hopefully giving some resources to do that. Because for many of us, you know, we grew up where we didn't really have maybe a particular godly example of what this looks like. So you come into adult years and you find yourself a dad or you find yourself a husband. And you're like, I don't know what to do. I know what I don't want to do, but I don't know what I actually want to do. It's like saying, you know, I flew in an airplane, it crashed. I know I do not want to be on a crashing airplane, but that doesn't mean we know how to pilot. So sometimes, guys, as we're looking to lead our home spiritually, we need to look for examples around us. That's one of the reasons why men's ministry can be so important, getting into a Bible study group and talking to other men. So how do you pray with your kids? I got to admit to you that even as a pastor, I didn't really know how to do that very well until I saw a friend of mine doing that with his kids. We ended up doing kind of a camp out together, and he just went in next to his kids as they're going to bed and just said a little prayer with them and asked them about their day. And I thought, oh, that's easy. I can do that. It's okay to feel awkward. It's okay to even say the same thing a number, you know, all the time. But the point is, gentlemen, we can set a tone. We can set a tone that your kids would hear you praying sometimes, no matter how awkward it is. No, even if it's the same words, that your kids would see you opening up the Bible at some point, in some way, somehow. It sets a spiritual tone for your household. We also care for the financial needs of our families. And again, that doesn't mean that, guys, you need to be, in many cases, that means that guys are out in the marketplace and they're working hard, they're bringing home the bacon. There's no shame in both parents working, and there is no shame if maybe your wife has a higher earning potential than you for her to work. But here's the point, is that you, gentlemen, you set the financial tone of your home. Here's what I mean by that. We will be a household that gives generously. We will be a household that saves responsibly. I will be a man who will be trustworthy with money. Do you hear what that means? Doesn't mean you have to make all the money. Doesn't mean you have to control all the money. And maybe your wife is even better with the numbers than you. Doesn't mean you need to be, you know, you need to be an accountant. I mean, use the resources of the family, but you set the tone. We will be a household that gives generously, that saves responsibly, and I will be trustworthy with money. We will know the difference between wants and needs. That gentleman is your role. And again, in some cases, we're going to need some resources for this. That's why courses like Financial Peace University can be really helpful. Again, things like men's ministry can be important, just so you are connecting with other men, other guys, learning how to lead your family, getting educated in even how money works. Because again, for all of the great things that we learn growing up and all of the great things that are happening in the school systems and public school systems, it is amazing how many kids graduate without any clue about how compounding interest works and how it can either work for you or against you. The difference between possibly wise debt and extremely dumb debt. And so kids come into college and they're just bombarded with credit card offers and come out of college not only with a significant amount of college debt, but just consumer level debt. We don't know how money works, but guys, you do not need to be a victim to this. We can get educated. We can engage so that as God blesses us with families, as God blesses us with children or maybe grandchildren or even possibly great grandchildren, we will set a financial tone for our households. We will set a financial legacy for the future. We are a family that gives generously, that saves responsibly, and I can be trusted with money because I know the difference between a want and a need. We also care for the physical needs of our families. That they have the food they need, they have the clothing they need, they have a safe place to live. That we will do whatever it takes to make certain that those under our care thrive. That's the goal, gentlemen. That's the goal. That's what it means to be ahead. I will take responsibility for those under my care. I will set a legacy for the next generation. I will get the resources that I need in order to live forward into the task, into the calling that God has for me as a man. So let's land this a little bit, because I realize that people here, we process this in a lot of different ways. In some cases, it's Father's Day is a day with some pain, and it's a day with some regret. So whether that's the pains of maybe father experiences that you experienced growing up, or maybe if we're just being honest, guys, as we look at the legacies that we're leaving and we go, this is not a legacy at this moment that I'm proud of. Today we need to remember, guys, that the message of the cross is that the past is in the past, and that through Christ there is forgiveness, there is redemption, there is transformation, and there is a bright future as we submit our lives to Him. So for some today, this could be your come to Jesus today day. It's like I want to live into the kind of lifestyle and the kind of life of honor that God calls men to. And so I'm gonna go to the first and most important resource, which is Jesus. I'm gonna surrender my heart to Him, surrender my life to Him, and ask Him to give me a new future. For some, messages like this might be messages of that bring us to places where we recognize our need for forgiveness. The dads that we've experienced, even if they've let us down, they were probably doing the best that they could with what they had at the time. People generally, they're trying to do the best they can. And so we forgive, we heal, and we move on. Recognizing that forgiveness is a journey. Sometimes a very painful journey. Sometimes the hardest thing we will ever do. For some here, you're here as a single woman, maybe even a single mom, and you're hearing about the crisis of manhood, and you're like, I know about that. Because you've been carrying a very, very heavy load for a very long time. And my prayer is as we hear passages like this, it acknowledges the pain, and it also perhaps will help us to help, to use a shorthand phrase, that help the man picker to be better. If you are looking for a relationship, look for a man that looks a lot like Jesus. Look for a man whose life has been impacted by the gospel. You are complete in Christ. No matter what the movies say, you do not need a man to complete you. You don't need a man. You may want one, so want the right kind of one. So how does this land for you today? How does this affect you today as we look at these issues of godly manhood? Now, across the front of the platform today, there are rocks. Now, we've already taken some time to thank God for the legacies that we have received, for those who have been rocks in our life in the past. What I'd like to challenge our guys to do today is to at some point in the worship service, is to come forward and pick up a rock as a reminder that God has called us to live into a legacy of faith, that just as we have received a legacy from others, we're called to pass it on to the next generation. And so as we pick up that rock, it's a way of saying, I'm going to own the stone. I'm going to do whatever it takes in my own life, whatever areas of my own past and my own present that I need to surrender, I'm going to give it to the Lord so that he can change my legacy, so that my children, so that my grandchildren, so that my great-grandchildren can have a godly legacy, can have some example of what godly manhood may look like. So let's spend some time with the Lord on this. I invite you to have every head bowed, every eye closed. For some today, as we hear the challenge of godly manhood, and perhaps even some of the regrets of the past that we feel, whether that's the past that we've received or the past that we have lived. Today, that first step is just to come to Jesus and to ask him for forgiveness, to ask him to breathe new life into us by the Holy Spirit. And so for anyone today, whether man or woman, if you feel like you've been keeping God at arm's length, and today, you're sensing the tug of the Holy Spirit in your life and on your heart. And you recognize, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to let him in. I need to ask him to do his work in me. I want to give you a chance to do that. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But if you're looking to make a new commitment to Christ, whether for the first time or the first time in a long time, let's just make some eye contact right now. Okay. Yes. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. And I see you. I see you. As around the room, people are opening their hearts up to the Lord. They're saying, Jesus, come into my life. Be my forgiver. Be my redeemer. Be the one who transforms me. Let's pray with some of our brothers and sisters. We've got about a dozen people around the room that are taking that step today. We're super excited for that. Congregation, let's pray out loud with those that are taking that step today. Would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for Jesus, for the forgiveness that he offers, for his sacrificial death on the cross, for his victorious resurrection from the grave, and that through him, I have new life. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my forgiver. Be my healer. And be my leader. And Lord, may what you do in me, may it leave a legacy for the next generation. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So let's thank God for what he's doing. And recognize that there is more work to be done. Because men, God has called us not to lead alone. He's given us some fantastic helpmates. But God has called us, Christian men, he has called us to lead. He has called us to set the tone in our homes. He has called us to be people who lead our families spiritually, who lead our families financially, who care for the needs, the physical needs of those in our families especially. And so, man, I want to ask you, will you stand up to the challenge? And I want to invite you guys, just even as an act of faith, just to stand and say, I will be one of the men that will lead a legacy of faith. I am asking Christ to give me the strength so that the generations that follow me can have a godly example of manhood. Invite you, men, will you stand? Will you stand? Will you stand? And ladies, we need you to pray for the men of our church. We need you to pray for the men in your families because life is hard and there's a lot of challenges and there's a lot of things working against them. So if it's appropriate, put a hand on the shoulder or the back of somebody close by. We need to pray for our men. We need to pray for our men. They've got a hard job. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen the men of our congregation, that they would be leaders in their families. God, that they would not bend or bow to the pressures of culture, but God, they would be examples of righteousness, that they would set a tone in their homes, that they would set a tone for responsibility, they would set a tone for generosity, that they would set a tone that these are families that will pray together, that will stick together, that will support one another. And we thank you for them. We thank you that they are bucking the trend of culture, that they are living into a legacy of faith. And so we commit them to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. And so guys, at any point, yeah, you clap, that's good. So at any point, guys, yeah, and let's all stand together as we commit our lives to the Lord. I invite you guys, come grab a stone. Take your stone and remember the legacy that God has for you.